Hello, magic seekers, and welcome to It Turns Out She's a Witch.
We're your hosts, Laura and Shannon,
and welcome to our podcast coven.
She's a Witch podcast would like to begin today by acknowledging the Darkin Young people, traditional custodians of the land on which we live and record the podcast. We pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. We extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Hello to our beautiful podcast coven. We are back for another episode of Turns Out She's a Witch. And it is just dear Laura and I today.
It is. It's been, you know, time for a chat. It's been a while.
It has. We've had some absolutely incredible guests on recently, but it is always lovely to do a wee episode of just the two of us.
Yeah, catch up on all the things. There's been some changes and some evolutions and new developments since we last had an episode that we got to chat just together. So, and like you said, lots of amazing guests that we've got to speak with. So, yeah, it's well time to have an episode of us talking about it all.
It is. It is. Well, most recently we had the beautiful Rebecca Campbell on and our awesome giveaway that was lots of fun to do and our two winners that we get to hang out with on Saturday and do a meet and greet with Rebecca. So congratulations again to Giselle and to Chloe. So it's very, very exciting.
Yeah, that's right. And thank you to everyone who entered the competition. There were so many. Shannon was cutting up bits of names and putting them in the cauldron. For a long time. So, yeah, definitely thanks to everyone for joining that competition and our beautiful patrons over on Patreon.
Yes, which we are super excited. Our little Patreon coven is growing. It's really lovely.
It is.
And, yeah, we just want to do a little shout-out to Angie, Lauren, Kim, Raylene and Linda who have recently joined. So thank you so much. It means the world, and we do a little happy dance every time we see some new names on there, and we're really looking forward to our first circle that is going to be early in December. So be sure to join before then, and, yeah, there's lots brewing over there, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. There's plenty of goodies, and it truly does go quite a way in helping just support the podcast and, you know, platform fees and all that boring stuff, but it certainly helps helps us create the magic. So it's nice, to get that sorted. Oh, and also we wanted to mention about Rebecca's coming workshop on the 18th, you know, this coming Saturday.
This Saturday.
Yes. She just announced over on her Instagram that Hay House are going, and herself obviously, are in partnership to give away 10 extra tickets. So if you have found yourself wanting to go and you can get to Sydney this Saturday on the 18th, go and find Rebecca Campbell's Instagram account and follow the instructions over there and you might just win yourself one.
And we hope to see you there. I think it's going to be an amazing event, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I can't wait.
It is. And also another little quick mention, we're recording last minute, as we do.
It's
the new moon today. So, I hope everyone's had some time to sit in even just a little ritual to write down all that you'd like to manifest and plant those seeds at this time of the lunar cycle is always really good. And it's quite potent at the moment, I feel, the energy. I feel like this Scorpio season just makes everything a bit deeper and I don't know about you, but I've been very introspective the last few days and, lots brewing. Like I can't quite put my finger on it yet, but I know things are shifting and changing. And a lot of people I've talked to are feeling the same way. So I just thought I would mention that, put it out there. If you happen to be having those feels as well, you're not alone.
You're not crazy. You've landed in the right place.
Definitely. And the moon's energy is quite strong either side for about 3 days of a new or full moon. So you can still work with it if you haven't, you know, done the things on the actual day, which, you know, I know myself being a very busy mum, sometimes it's hard to do that. So, yeah, you can always just do it the day after or the day after that if, you know, whatever works for you.
So true. I'm so glad you mentioned that, just working with that flow and with that cycle. It doesn't, you know, have to be exacting on the minute unless you're working perhaps on a very precise thing. But when you just are in flow with the natural energies that are around, it's just conducive to being able to harness that.
It is. It really is.
I fully hear you and agree about Scorpio season. The more that sort of I lean into this way of living and working, Scorpio season is definitely that transformational death, rebirth, potent energy, isn't it? It's not surface level. It kind of has that feeling of unpicking scabs. I'm an earth and I'm disgusting. But, you know, like getting under there, like the Band-Aid is ripped off no matter, you know, whether it's willingly or not. Things come to the surface that are meant to come to the surface, and that can either be a bit more pleasant or not. But one way or another, you're forced to face some truths, or you're being given the opportunity to. And then if you choose to work with that, then you're also given that opportunity to transform that. But it's not, you know, it's not the faint-hearted, is it? All this woo-woo fluffy duffy shit is not for the faint-hearted, turns out.
It's so not fluffy, is it? My gosh, when you get into it, it's really not. But I agree. I feel especially the last few years, and as you say, like the more you notice those yearly cycles on a whole, every Scorpio season, it's a deep dive for me personally. Lots of stuff comes up, and I go quite hermit mode too, I found. I really turn within and, that's the word, withdraw. So it's interesting. It's really interesting to see those cycles. And in the great words of Carly Mountain, it feels like a descent, like quite a descent. And then
truly,
I guess you always know there's going to be that rising afterwards, which is the hope by the end of the season.
The light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. Well, that's the thing too, because, you know, on our Gregorian yearly calendar, we've been sort of going all year. We've got this fatigue. We know that, you know, Christmas, for those who celebrate, or the end of the year, the culmination of a year of everything, is just there, and we're all just a little bit spent, I feel. And it's like, we haven't even reached the main event of the new year and the celebrations and the peopling. So it's the kind of last retreat to sort out what we can and work through what we can to sort of do the final hurdles of the year and notice what you're noticing. Notice if it's all too hard, where can I ask for help, or what can I let go of, or notice what feels light and go that way a bit more. Or, you know, it's a real opportunity if you want to lean into that, whatever's coming up for you. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, wherever this is reaching you, we wish you well, and we see you and we hear you and we feel you. Carry on.
Definitely. No, like I say, that it's a kind of final purge, if you'd like, before the end of the year, sorting your shit out. And we were having a really beautiful conversation this morning with our trainer, and
as we
saying
do
that too, like the end of the we do some deep conversations after training, but that it's, I feel like the end of the year is a really good opportunity if you are wanting to change things up or totally change your path or trajectory. It gives you a really good excuse to kind of go, okay, I'm, you know, fuckering out for a few weeks to have that break over the holiday season, and then you can come back with that new face or that new offering or whatever. Like it's a really good kind of line in the sand of, okay, I'm going to do things differently, or I'm going to step into something different. So
yeah
perhaps Scorpio season's just stirring the pot to make you realize where you want to go.
Yeah. Yep. And like most people, as long as we're comfortable, we're happy to not change. So we do have to be made just a little bit uncomfortable in order to go, I'm not enjoying this quite so much. Thank you very much. What can I do?
I don't want to do this.
Yeah, well, literally, you know, when that scorpion turns around and gives you a little nip in the butt, what are you going to do? Are you going to try and do some work and sort some things out, and you transform into that phoenix eventually? So,
love it.
See how we go.
Cycles and spirals. Cycles and spirals.
Which is another reason why, aside from this real talk at the top of the episode, we've decided to lighten it up with our episode today as well, because we did a few weeks ago, after we had the wonderfully talented and ever-engaging Ree on from the Spiritual Toolbox, and she actually suggested we might like to do some confession stories, and we put the call out. Yes. For just that, and we have been receiving some. So we thought we'd put a little sugar in the episode and, you know, delve into some of them.
Oh, who doesn't love some secrets, some secret witchy business? Ooh. And there's been some amazing stories come through, which we're very excited to share. So
yeah,
grab your cup of tea or, settle in for some stories.
Some are anonymous, some are not anonymous, and that's great. So, you know, we can accommodate for anything. If you've got something that you'd love to share, give us a DM, or, you know, get in touch via all the links in our show notes, and you too can have your deepest, darkest secrets be read out by us. It's good fun.
It is. It's great fun. All right. Well, I might kick it off then if you are ready.
I'm ready. Please do.
And you haven't heard these either, no, because I get the emails.
You get them and you keep them close to your chest.
I do. All right. So our first one is from an anonymous witch, and it goes like this. I met this lady who was really interested in learning about spells and rituals. She had her heart set on gaining the attention of a man who she had an on-off relationship with. Upon first meeting and reading the situation, I got a very strong feeling that I could indeed get her results, confirmed by using tarot, but it did go against my morals and boundaries. I don't mess with people's free will. I told her this, but she begged me, and myself being a people pleaser, I agreed.
Oh, dear.
So ritual went smoothly, and I explained it was a longer working ritual. After 2 weeks, he committed to the relationship. Everything she asked for had manifested. Then after a few days of peace, this lady began coming in every single day to see me, each day with a growing list of demands, tweaks and adjustments to the initial agreed upon petition. She became relentless. I explained the importance of gratitude. She still wanted these changes made where I'd already told her no. I was pissed off at this point, so I pulled the plug on everything I'd done energetically and told her to go see someone else. Everything relating to this situation fell apart for her, which I only found out because she returned another time begging me again to get her the results. So that is our first confession about spell casting and free will and someone got a little bit cray-cray.
Yeah. That's what happens, isn't it? And no doubt there's a lesson learnt there, but to that person was kicking themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it? And, goodness.
Yeah, it makes you feel sick.
But thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing,
Anonymous. Absolutely. I can imagine that would have been a hard share, and I'm imagining that this person would have only have shared that because they've worked on it, forgiven themselves, released it, probably have felt at least an energetic kick up the ass for doing it in the first place and let it all go, which is why perhaps they're sharing it as a cautionary tale anyway, because it's real stuff and it worked. But then what happened? It wasn't supposed to work, so then it got very tricky.
And fell apart anyway, that's it.
Mm. Mm. Thank you. Thank you.
So now, Lara, do you have a tale to tell?
I do. I do indeed. So it's a short but sweet one. And I quite like it. And so it's not anonymous, isn't it? So I can thank you to the author. Yes?
Yes.
So yes, Jamie Lee, your ones thank are you not very anonymous. Much. Yeah, I know. I just wanted to doubly, triply check that to be sure. So the lovely Jamie Lee has written this one in, and even the title I like. It's called Green Man. So it goes like this. One night I got the fright of my life. I was sleeping alone and suddenly woke up to see a man at the end of the bed. He was quite short and was like an elf. He was wearing all green, a little green hat and outfit. He was just staring at me and standing at the end of my bed. I was half asleep, so in that fog, I jumped up and panicked as I thought somebody had broken into my house. I started to freak out and I quickly raced out of the room and tried to look around to see who was there and where he'd gone. I then came to and realized it wasn't a person but an elemental. The image of the man has stayed with me so vividly and I felt bad that I didn't react positively and panicked. Instead of being calm and zen, I was scared and made it known that I was. I've never seen him again. I would love to have another visit, maybe even when I'm awake or early at night rather than midnight when I'm sleeping deeply. But I think maybe I scared him off. Fuck, I'd be scared too.
I think that's the thing. It's when you don't expect it. Like, I feel like that with spirit myself in the past. Not that I've ever seen a little green man. That sounds so fucking cool. And I wish I had. Like, and I agree, not at midnight.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it would scare the absolute bejesus out of you if you just soundly sleeping and wake up and there's a little green dude at the end of the bed. Jesus.
Especially like half asleep as well. And I think, you know, in hindsight, it's understandable that you'd be a little disappointed going, oh, I wish I hadn't have freaked out. But it's such a visceral reaction. You can't help but freak out. Like, what are you going to do? And in your house in the middle of the night, it's like.
Yeah. Oh, I guess though, when is the perfect time to see a little green man? Like when would you be prepared?
Well, do you know, if I'm fully getting into the spiritual witchy kind of thing, especially working with elementals, I would probably get into the habit of setting aside if it's like an afternoon, one day a week, making a little ritual out of it, finding things that might draw him in, finding a time that might work, telling him that, so opening up a space, getting into some sort of meditation, having some rules, like it's okay for you to show yourself.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I might be scared, but I don't want to frighten you. It's just a bit of, a shock for me. Please don't come when I'm fully asleep. You know, I don't know. There'd be sort of little rituals or times of day. You could even make, you know, a little offering dish for them if you know, obviously liking the color green there. So, I don't know. I think there'd be loads of ways that you could sort of, at a safe space, that you could, I was about to say lure him into, but perhaps attract his attention. That sounded a little bit vicious. But, you know, if it's elementals, they like shiny things, don't they? And all things nature-based. Yeah. And sometimes they're not really happy if you disturb their spaces as well. So I'd be asking, what did you do prior to that action? Were you asking them in, or have you just done some yard work that they didn't particularly like? Or, you know, they like sweet treats, some of them anyway. I'm no expert, but I've heard they like, you know, biscuits or cakes and that sort of thing. So,
yeah.
Interesting, though. I love that. And I'd be really interested.
It is very interesting.
To see if you're going to, if Jamie Lee's going to set something up, get in touch and let us know. Please.
For sure. Yes. We'd love to know if you come across a little green man again. For sure.
Ooh, I want a green man.
Be careful what you wish for, Lara. Yeah.
I know.
Oh, all right. Now I've got another beautiful story here, and I'm able to say who it's from. So it's from beautiful Lisa Miranda, who runs Kiss the Sky Candles.
Oh, okay. Yes. So Lisa's the one that you've collaborated with for Of Earth and Ether Candle?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, okay. She made my beautiful bespoke candle. Oh, but, this story is amazing and crazy and intense. Okay. But, yes, can't wait to read it out.
Right.
So it goes like this. So, hi, beautiful Shen and Laura. I'm sharing this story today of a situation when my intuition was so spot on that it actually saved my daughter's life. It still blows my mind to this day, and I feel it's worth sharing. Mm. So my story was from around 10 and a half years ago when my baby girl Ava was only 1.5. I woke one evening in the middle of the night crying and distressed after just having had the most vivid and terrifying dream. I dreamt I was walking with Ava in her stroller and a gold car just came out of nowhere and hit the stroller out of my hands. Oh, I'm getting chills reading it.
Gee whiz.
As it sped away with the stroller pinned to the front of the car, I knew instantly that my baby girl was gone. I screamed and cried and felt every single emotion you would in that situation. It was so real and vivid that I woke screaming and crying that my husband had to comfort me. I told him about the dream and he said, oh, how awful, but lucky it was just a nightmare. I eventually went back to sleep. The next morning, I woke to my usual routine but felt overwhelmed with emotion after the dream and I could not stop thinking about it. It kind of haunted me all morning and I felt very anxious. I knew it was just a nightmare, but I couldn't stop thinking about this dream. I got Ava and myself ready for our morning power walk with my mum, who lives across the road. We joined mum outside and headed off on our usual daily walk. I told mum I was feeling overwhelmed with anxiety about 15 minutes into our walk and that I just couldn't breathe. We had to stop. I could barely get in any air. I was so anxious. She said, just rest, breathe, and calm down. Is everything okay? I told her about the dream in great detail. I said I dreamt a gold car killed Ava by hitting her stroller and I felt all the emotions just like it actually happened. And now I just couldn't stop thinking about it and that it shook me to my core. She said it was terrible but reassured me that all was okay and that it was just a bad nightmare. I kept thinking to myself, why have I never felt like this before after a nightmare? It really had shaken me up and my anxiety was next level. We approached the crossing and hit the button for the lights. We waited until the green light to go and proceed to cross, but something in me made me take caution. I walked cautiously across the crossing, keeping Ava in the stroller closer to me than usual as I looked around, casing the whole area. I walked slowly across the crossing, and when we got halfway across, I suddenly heard the biggest screech of car brakes and tires skidding. I stopped dead in my tracks, pulling Ava as close to me as I could. Mm. And as I did, a car sped through the crossing and after the crossing stopped to a screeching halt. My mum and I stood there dumbfounded. Cars started beeping and people were yelling out and abusing the man behind the wheel who had just run a red light. He had stopped after the crossing once he had obviously realised what he'd done. He had literally just missed us by less than a metre as he screamed through. If we had been walking any quicker, we surely would have been hit. Mm. My mum and I, still in shock, scurried with the stroller to the safety of the side of the road. Mum grabbed me and screamed at me, Lisa, it's a gold car. Oh, we both hugged and cried. Yeah, I know, I've got chills. We both hugged and cried. We both couldn't believe the dream had been a premonition and saved Ava's life. To this day, I'm still in shock and also in awe of my intuition and how it protected myself and my family. I was a first-time mum then, and I really think my protective instincts were in full swing. I really believe something higher came through to warn me. Mm. I haven't had a dream like this since, and I really can't explain why, but I'm so grateful I did. I'm a Taurus with Pisces rising and Scorpio moon. I've had a psychic and astrologer tell me that Scorpio moons are very intuitive and connected strongly to the dream state, and that our intuition is strongest in this state and often messages come through clearly in dreams. I have a lot of intuitive dreams and now take note of them when they happen, especially the vivid ones. Kindest regards, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa. I just covered you in chills. Yeah.
Wow. Incredible. Like that's just, it would have been so freaky though. I can only imagine how freaked out you would have been after
Yeah.
And how quickly it happened too, like you only dreamt about it the night before and then the following morning that all came to pass. So thank goodness, yeah, your baby girl's fine and there's someone was watching over you and communicating, that's for sure.
Yeah, not her time.
Mm-mm. Yeah, wow. And also a big lesson of her intuition too, I think. So
and connection, yeah.
Mm.
That's a divine intervention if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So much in that. That's huge. That's a big share as well. And it just makes me wonder how many people have dreams, maybe not divine intervention dreams, as that was, like Lisa, I think, said, there's something else, using her intuition to get her attention. But I think there was obviously much more than simply intuition. But our dream space is often a good place to seek answers or get messages and that sort of thing, if you can remember the damn things.
Yeah, true.
But this one sounds like it was impossible to forget. It stayed with her and haunted her and was so different to the other dreams that she's ever had too. So something more
that's
there.
It. Yeah, for sure. I know my grandmother and my auntie, they both used to receive messages and communicate with deceased loved ones through dreams. That was kind of their thing. Yeah. And my nan, I guess she could, oh, I don't know, I don't think it's premonition. I think it's more she was visited like in her sleep. So there's two stories I remember of like my nan immigrated to Australia. So all of her family were back in Scotland and she was the youngest of five children. So she had four older brothers. And one of her favourite brothers passed away. So this is going back like before, you know, people really even having telephones at home. Yeah. It was all like telegram, that kind of thing. So she woke up through the night and her brother was standing at the end of her bed and told her that he was going and that everything was going to be okay. And she woke my pop up and was like, my brother Peter just died. And my pop was like, oh, don't be silly, you know, go back to sleep, you're fine. And that morning they got in the car and she had a crucifix necklace that he'd given her when she immigrated.
Yeah.
And it broke off her neck, like just the necklace broke and they pulled the car apart, could not find this necklace.
Okay.
And she was really obviously in a bit of a state and just knew that it was a sign that, yeah, something wasn't right. And then it wasn't until the next day they got the telegram saying that he'd passed on the night that she'd saw him. And they went back out to the car that next day and the necklace was sitting right in the centre of the seat.
No.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember my auntie telling me that story as well. And then the same thing happened when her mother died, so my great-grandmother Mary. Yeah, same thing. My nan woke up through the night, saw her mum sitting at the end of a bed and told her, and she was in Scotland, and, yeah woke pop up again and went, my mum just died. And
did he believe that time?
Yeah, like... I'm not sure. I'd love to be able to ask more. They're both sadly passed now.
Yeah.
But then obviously after they passed, my auntie, she would, and she's passed now too, sadly, but she would quite often ring my mum and be like, oh, I was talking to mum last night and she said this and this and this and, oh, I was talking to dad and, like, would relay messages just like she'd had just a phone like conversation with them.
That's so amazing. But all in dreams, like visitation dreams. Yeah. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Oh, I broke up then.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought I might have.
My internet connection is unstable.
Oh, I was just saying,
okay.
Like,
I can hear you now. Fully just frozen.
Oh, you're back with me.
Yeah,
though.
I know.
Visitation dreams.
It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So, as I said, not so much premonition, but definitely that dream space.
Yeah.
Something. You know, opened up for them, that's for sure.
They're beautiful stories.
My little confessions. Family dreaming witches.
It's like a story share, isn't it? Story circle.
It is.
I've got one from Ree from the Spiritual Toolbox.
Yay!
And it's called The Power of Words.
Mm.
So This is interesting. My husband was joking around wanting an upgraded engine for his car to handle more power. Every few days, he would make a comment about his car having a heart transplant. I would roll my eyes going, yeah, yeah, and it says, for your information, I'm not interested in cars at all. Either am I.
Same.
Oh, whatever. Anyways, a few weeks went by, and sure enough, his engine blew up when he was coming home from the gym, and his car ended up requiring a new heart, aka a new engine. So be careful what you wish for. Sometimes you might get exactly what you asked.
Oh, it's a good reminder, Ree.
Yeah, it's really putting it out there, isn't it? I mean, you probably in hindsight add more to that, getting a heart transplant without costing any extra money, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, I remember when I first started following Kyle Gray in the last few years, and he talks about a story that when he was getting established, so obviously years ago for him, he would be, you know, and he's aware of his connection, he'd say something or words to the effect of, you know, universe, just use me to be a conduit, use me so I can help others, blah, blah, blah. But then he ended up just feeling used, you know, he was putting out
okay.
there, use me, and he just felt used. So then he, you know, you wise up and you become a bit more intentional, a bit more specific with what you want, I suppose. So it's really interesting, isn't it? With your words, the power of your words,
yes.
and what you want. And you might get exactly what you wish for. So be very, it's almost like you're writing an instruction manual, maybe.
Well, you're casting a spell, really, with your words, aren't you? So unless you're being specific, so.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. So I remember, you know, a rule with manifesting and, you know, universal laws is you can be specific with what you want, but it's the how it comes to you that's really up to the universe. So if you're specific in, you know, in avoiding certain things, we'll just rather than putting out there what you want to avoid, putting out exactly what you want. So in effect, you may avoid what you don't want, if that makes any sense. So rather than saying, I don't want this, you can say what I do want in this.
Focus on the positives. That's
it. Yeah. Yeah. I just found that interesting. But it makes me remember when I hear the power of words, that sort of story that I heard. Yeah. From Carl Gray. Forever
it makes
ago
sense.
Now. Yeah, it was something, you know, along those lines. That was the main message I took out of it was, you don't necessarily want to feel used, you know.
Very true. You don't at all. Gosh.
Mm-mm.
Mm. All right. Well, I have my last story to share, and this is from another anonymous witch. And I think you're going to like this one, Laura. So as a teen, I would dream of this pair of eyes. I would see various incarnations of these eyes on different bodies, of different races, in different situations, but the eyes always stayed the same. These brown eyes were so kind and loving, and in each dream over the period of about 4 years, from the age of 12 to 16, I would randomly see these eyes a few times a year, maybe one or two times after that too. Fast forward to about 8 years ago. I was at an event and I was walking down a busy aisle and my eyes met the eyes of this man. It was him. It was the eyes I kept dreaming about 10 to 15 years prior. We both sort of paused, not knowing what to do, but ultimately kept going. The day went on and I was leaving the event with my husband and the man was waiting at the exit. He stopped me and asked, "Do I know you?" I said, "I don't think so, but you look familiar." In brackets, knowing full well there was more to the story, and how the hell was I going to explain that to a random stranger and my now husband? Very true.
Awkward.
Yeah. He hesitantly paused and we walked off wishing him well. I really wanted to explain and thought about it the entire walk back, formulating how I could say, "I've seen you in my dreams," in a non-romantic, non-romantic, non-creepy way.
Just while I was unconscious.
I don't know. I've just been dreaming of you for half of my life. My husband and I got back to the car and hubby said he needed to go to the toilet before our commute home. I stayed in the car and he went to find a bathroom. 5 minutes goes by and sure enough, the man with the eyes from my dream is parked next to our car.
No.
I wanted to hide. My chest was pounding.
Whoa.
I also wanted to yell out to get his attention. Frozen in time, I heard a tap at the window and the man must have noticed me and said, "Look, I know you said I don't know you, but I can't help but feel like I do. Sorry if it seems a bit crazy, but I can't shake this feeling." I told him I didn't have the capacity to form into words right now, but I shared my Instagram and told him to follow me and I'll explain when I've processed it a bit more. A few weeks passed and I finally built up the courage. I explained everything and the sequence of events. After he read my essay, his response was, "I know, I remember, I was there too." We share real life stories and discovered so many similarities, 6 degrees of separation style. So for years, we were having dreams about each other. We had never met before and have only met once since. It was my most weirdest yet beautiful, trippiest experience with synchronicities. We meet each other not intentionally in the astral plane often though. We share a really strong psychic link.
What the fuck?
So that I'm incredible, incredible. This is like some past life shit there, or if I have ever read it. My gosh.
But they've only met amazing once in real life.
Yes. Yes, but dream about each other and yeah, meet in the astral, astral plane.
Wow.
Incredible, incredible. Yeah, and I've only ever heard of another story like this once from a friend of mine years ago. I'll never forget it. And she was married as well and happily married and 2 kids. Yeah. And she was at our local shopping center walking down, like she used to work there, was on a lunch break, walking down to the food court to get some lunch. And same kind of thing, just crossed paths with this man that she'd never seen in her whole entire life and just had this knowing, like this weird, and he was the same, like they just looked at each other. It was like they knew and recognized each other, and they actually went and sat down together. Oh, and
wow,
like had a coffee and were trying to figure out how they knew each other, but they didn't. And it was just like this weird soul recognition
and still couldn't sort of make sense of what the actual purpose was for that.
No, exactly. And also like it really shook her because she was attracted to this guy but married. Oh, it was like this, yeah, like soul, like, yeah, connection.
Recognition.
And nothing ever happened. They never, like, they didn't even, yeah, exchange details or whatever because she was married, but it was just, it really shook her up. I always remember, yeah, it, because she was, fair, like, what the fuck, yeah, like why did that happen? It
that
was,
would be so confusing. And it doesn't even seem to be like there is a resolution where you go, oh, that's why, or that's what it was, like, yeah, all you can do is suppose there's something greater than this human existence, and in other realms there's a recognition. But again, what's the point and purpose of that then here?
Yeah, so intriguing. But it gives you so much food for thought of past lives and timelines and totally, soul families and,
yep, yep, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. So thank you, Anonymous Witch. That was like,
yep,
yeah. Loved, super cool, loved your tale. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great share. I've got another great share. And I must say, ahead of time, thanks very much, Kat. Kat has spent a long time typing out many experiences, and there's some common threads, and I'll read a couple of these experiences out as well. But I don't want to overshare, even though Kat said we can. I just wanted to keep some things, you know, special to her. But I thought there's some things in here that we can all learn, and no doubt our listeners will be intrigued to hear, but also there's this current theme. And I guess if this is, you know, found its way to us, it's to be shared and learned from, really. So it starts out by Kat sort of explaining who she is. So she's the mum of 2 boys aged 6 and 4, and she describes her family as being neurodiverse, and she's neurodivergent herself. And she's always been quite sort of intuitive by the sound. She says, "I've always had some sixth sense, though never really explored it until recently. So she describes some work that she's done in recent years as opening up Pandora's box, which is interesting. Mm. Yeah, so she also can relate to being an empath and clairsentient. So about 2 years ago, a friend of hers gave her a deck of rune cards, and then she bought a tarot deck and joined a course with a tarot reader and started doing some spirit guide meditations. So she says herself she had no clue before about protection or safety, and she acknowledges that she can be impulsive and reckless, naive, and very curious by nature. And I've got to say, I'm right there. When it comes to anything spirituality, I can certainly be all those things too, because I just want to, I just intrigue and I just want to know more rather than maybe considering where is this information coming from and have I protected myself accordingly, which is, I think, is a very strong theme that we can rush ahead sometimes without doing all the preparation work, without doing all the protective work, because just like humans, there are all kinds of spirits out there that will try and communicate with us. Some have our best interests at mind and others don't, right? So
if
we're not specific and protected, then we're just leaving our front door open saying, come on in, let's have a chat, no matter who you are. Yeah, so that's essentially what she was saying. I'm just paraphrasing lots of things. So she has, or she met two spirit guides that have stayed with her ever since the beginning of this work that she's doing. And she started doing work with a heart coach all about conscious communication. And she learns conflict resolution and leading with the heart, and it's a lot about compassion and self-healing. And this coach teaches how to understand the pain and yearning of all human beings, so it's a big spiritual coach as well. And obviously when you make that connection with someone, it's a deep connection, isn't it?
Definitely.
So and she says it can be to relate to spiritual energies and, you know, of all kinds. So she also has something what she calls to her sacred garden. So it's a garden in her spiritual meditation. So that's where she goes to sit in meditation in her mind's eye. And from that place is where she will meet new energies, and there will be people that, when I'm guessing from how I've read her email, she'll go to this sacred garden and be in meditation, and then she will see different visions from there. There'll be other visions that open up, and she describes being in a cave, and she describes, yeah, seeing different things. So quite a few of them actually featured this heart coach being upset, and different sort of metaphorical imagery that sort of carry along with the tarot deck sort of cards. And, you know, so there's lions and cliffs and sort of nature, different things all around. But the main sort of messages she was getting was about a child dying and the heart coach being really upset about that. And then it's sort of the image would then change, and it would get sort of less pleasant. So she went to another time she went to this bench. So she repeatedly visited this vision that kept repeating itself, and different times she'd go to this same vision, she'd try different things. So one of the times she went to the heart coach and, yeah, picked up a child that had already died and it was just decomposing in her arms.
Oh, my God.
And then she started seeing figures with black horns and lions and angels that also had, you know, direct relevance to the tarot decks and stuff that she was working with. But then a few of the messages that she felt crazy eventually for sharing or didn't know how to share them with the heart coach relating to a dragonfly and this real propulsion to tell her heart coach what she was seeing. But the images or the messages that she was getting was saying, yes, tell your heart coach what you're seeing. So she did actually tell a heart coach in one particular vision that she saw her heart coach seeing a blue dragonfly. And so, and this voice of the deceased child telling her to tell the heart coach about that. So even though she felt, she did sort of feel paranoia, and she has a friend who's a, I struggle to say this word, kinesiologist.
Yes.
Yeah. So she did ask this friend to do a body test for any sabotages, and all the friend said was that it would be, you know, I needed to tell my coach, the heart coach, this. So she messaged him and shared that he was with the student and told him of a blue dragonfly only 10 minutes before before that. So that was a bit of validation, I suppose. But, yeah, there's this recurring theme of this child visiting all the time, and then came an energy that looked like a goat man with wings. He would gesture about the heart coach and say things like, he's my son, my son. And this goat man with wings was calling himself Galeeb or Galeb, G-A-L-E-E-B. Wow. I'm not sure. But sometimes in this garden there's fruit there and it changes from being ripe, or other times it's rotten and that sort of thing. But when this new entity, the goat man, started coming, she started seeing hanging black bodies in the tree, which frightened her, because she even identified some of the black bodies as her son and his father. So it's obviously very confronting and unpleasant. But she was staying with it and staying talking to him. They'd meditate together, and he was connecting to her chakras in meditation and that sort of thing. So she said, we practiced this many times. Sometimes other energies or beings would even assist. So it's sometimes a black panther or a grey wolf would be there. They taught her how to exit human form and become pure energy. She describes her energy as being blue. And when she was in energetic form, she would look back at the tree and saw her son and his father playing around, running under the tree. So, you know, it's confusing, isn't it? It can sound dark and demonic, but then she turns around and everyone's okay. So I can imagine how confusing this would be. But then the next time the scene would repeat with dead bodies. But then she'd look back and they were playing again. So trippy. There's no other word about it. And then she sort of describes a bit of a dissension. So Galad then led me to a cliff where he pushed me off. I fell into an ocean and sank. And below, she met one of her spirit guides who put his forehead on mine, and gently I transmuted into a green dragon. So,
my gosh.
Yeah, then she was led to a lake, and there was a building at the end, or a tall hall at the end. At the doors of the great hall, the other spirit guide that she's always known was there. He pushed his hand into my chest and pulled out a green gem to show me. I entered the doors and saw two thrones. There was a king and queen sitting there. The king had horns and the queen was glowing yellow. She led me to the side where there was a buoyancy, and I saw people flashing like a sped-up highway. I wondered if that was hell. She then pushed me off the buoyancy and I fell down into an empty space of white light. Black spiders ran across, and then I saw one of her guides. He again helped me transmute myself into a green dragon. I was very clumsy at it. When I left the hall and went back to my hill in the garden, out came a panther and a wolf, and in between a massive male lion. Behind the lion was an angel with wings. He was huge and the energy was powerful. There was stillness yet. When I felt the energy, I voiced out the name Michael. So
wow,
she's being looked after even in those like hugely dark places. So there is also, this recurrent theme of green and green gems, and then this entity Galeb that's being confusing to her. And she's, you know, asking questions, and she uses a tarot quite a lot to ask, you know, different questions as to what the purpose is, what the message is. So there's an element of the color green, but then also, which obviously is like a healing energy as well, but the message of the deceased child kept coming up in relation to the heart coach as well. So it winds up, Kat winds up sort of saying that she feels as though she might even hold the energy of the deceased child from another life that belonged to the heart coach. Wow. But also that, so she asked if she, was going crazy, essentially, but she had a friend in Europe that she was talking to about this. She was feeling a lack of trust from these meditations and visions, and do I trust them? Is it right? Is it wrong? Whatever. So she was talking to a friend who lives in Europe, and he told her about the Vatican and about demons. And in some ways, Kat knew this was actually coming from one of the spirit guides, the way the energy was synced and felt. So within her cord dissolving and cord cutting room, she said, seeing this spirit guide and friends with energy having a cord between them, so seeing that sort of relationship. Spirit guide also told me that he was the one that lifted my friend back up to the surface when he was about to drown. Sounds like a far-fetched story, but with all the shit I've seen, almost anything is believable. And so she wanted to speak to the heart coach again, and I like this because it features it features our Ree from the spiritual toolbox. So she actually went to see Ree a day before she had a session with the coach, and she shared some of the story, and then Ree said everything that she'd shared, you know, spells out the word demon pretty much. She then pulled out a book of occult cards and demons and asked me to flip through them, you know, have a look. And the card that resonated most was Baphomet, so Baphomet. Mm-hmm. The horns, the face, the wings, and even the finger pose. Ree then used the rods to ask the energy a question. She asked if I was meant to pass on this message to my coach. It was a straight yes. Then she asked if the energy was a demon. The rods seemed hesitant, but it was still a yes answer. After leaving the shop, my phone sat nav wouldn't connect. I had some cards with me and did a reading in the car. They read Three of Swords, Nine of Swords, and Seven of Swords. Then Two of Pentacles with Two of Swords and Emperor. Obviously, Galeb wasn't feeling great about my visit to Ree. He may have felt misunderstood. Then all of a sudden, my coach cancelled my session from having a tummy ache. My son trips over and cuts his knee. I knew it was Galeb. I just knew it. So with the help of Ree's advice, I created my own sigils, one to acknowledge and end the exchange, and that I ask with this exchange for safety for me and my loved ones. So she went back into her sacred garden and met Galeb to tell him about this agreement. She also gave back, in one of her previous stories, she was given stuff. So one was an apricot, and there was jewellery as well with the green gems and stuff. So she gave them back. She asked, what is your real name? He responded, Galeb. She said, fine, if that's what you wish to be called. Then I asked, what is it that you truly want? He replied with a very human sorrow response, I just want to reconnect with my son. It felt weird as though it wasn't Galeb, that it could really be my coach's father. Is it possible that his past father is using Galeb as a conduit to channel this message to me? When I left the garden, I saw outside my crystal a goat man figure. Only its horns were different. They were ram-like, curling back, and it had hooves. I asked quietly, "Are you Lucifer?" And it nodded and walked away. I'm not sure if this was my imagination. At this point when I'm reading this, I'm like, holy shit balls.
Yeah, wow.
To have these sorts of meditations, it's just incredible. Yeah, so Kat, you know, is definitely on the right track with much more protection these days. She still uses tarot. But after the session with her coach, she finally had a session with the coach. She was worried of what the coach would think of her. She did end up telling the coach a lot of what she was seeing and all of that. And the coach told her that it made a lot of sense for him since he'd been doing some connections to his deceased father and grandfather, and sending and sharing his way of teaching. So what he's been teaching the world for his passion about world peace, you know, obviously has sort of connected with her, and they've had this, you know, bond. So after the session with her coach, she went to burn her safety sigils to activate them as part of the agreement and the end of the exchange, thanking for all that was shown and taught to her. The next day at work, she had a patient call with a sudden toothache. So she booked her in. Then she's a casual dental nurse, just for context. She booked her in. Then my boss receives a news advert on his phone with the patient's same last name. He also mentions that he pulled her patient card out the week before. He said this was a sign from spirit. So obviously she's in areas where people are spiritually sort of inclined anyway. She kind of knew it was for her though, so she waited. So the patient came in and nothing sort of happened. Then she left. Then it happened. She actually came back in. And then when she left for the second time, she yelled out, "You're safe." And then she knew her sigil had worked and that everything she'd been expecting was real. So that's Kat. Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of messages.
My gosh.
It's a lot of meditation. It's a lot of connecting with things that you can be really unsure about. So, you know, it's certainly, and what I wanted to talk about after that, obviously, thanks, Kat, for sharing all of that.
Yeah, because there's
a lot of detail, and I've only really glossed over most of it. So sorry, Kat, for paraphrasing and summarizing and those types of things. But without a doubt, you can connect to all kinds of things. But, you know, for everyone listening, it's important to be discerning and to be protective of what you're letting in, and to really, to really look after yourself and what you're letting in, I suppose, and setting up a circle for yourself, or asking for, you know, energies of the highest good and the highest protection. Good of all to come through, and all of those sorts of things can set you up to avoid scary shit. But I know some people do scary shit, so
yeah,
you know, it's a lot.
Oh, definitely. It sounds like lots of underworld kind of energies there. Yeah. And
stuff. I think, you know, working with in close relationship, say with coaches or any kind of mentors or anyone that you're learning things off, maybe if they're not on top of their protective stuff of what they're unintentionally oozing out all over somebody else, you know, maybe they could have boundaries that they need to take care of. So if they don't have boundaries, yours aren't that secure, you're just going to mesh and things get muddy. I don't know, I think spiritual integrity is huge.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because it can get scary and confusing at the best of times. And when your messages are clouded by someone else's, it's even more so, I feel.
For sure. Yeah, wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And I guess that's another really good point to take away is, as you said, the protection, but also that when we are in these liminal spaces with energetic beings, yeah, like you need to be discerning of who or what you are dealing with, because from what I understand is there's a lot of trickster energies out there that will pretend to be something they're not.
I'm so glad you mentioned that word.
So much to talk about.
Maybe tell me more about that
episode.
I'm sorry I interrupted you. Tell me more about trickster energy, what that feels like and what that is.
Oh, trickster energy can be something posing as something else. So it could be, yeah, like a demon kind of energy or a lower energy that will pretend to be a deceased loved one or a spirit guide or something if you're not doing all the things to kind of filter them out or to protect yourself, and they'll kind of get in and attach that up. Way. Basically.
Yeah.
Mislead you, misguide you, and take you down the garden path. So, it's really important to have those protections in place and know who you're dealing with. And I guess energetically feeling into it too, I think you'd be able to, I guess if you're having weird vibes about whatever you're communicating with, then trust it. if it's not feeling right, probably isn't.
Because it can be confusing at best. And there was a tiny bit when I printed out this story, there's a tiny bit that went on to the final page. So Kat had an art reading with Adam Perry after she'd heard our episode with him. So she said it was such an amazing experience. He held space for me and gave me a lot of guidance and support. The visions and his illustrations were a depiction of me walking through safe passage between the lower, middle and upper worlds. And he even thinks that Galeb could even be Pan. All kinds of connotations, isn't there, about what things are and not, and what you make of them. So that's why having trusted mentors and having people to go to, or being cautious with, what you're putting out there and what you're wanting to receive to begin with are all things to think about.
And being discerning, being very discerning. For sure.
Interesting. Knowing how to ninja the ties if you need to.
Yes, cut the ties.
Well,
I know we did that episode about Findhorn and about his name Rock, who communicates with Pan. And there was initially in that book, Encounters with Nature Spirits, he talks about how when he first encounters Pan, that he could see how people could mix him up with the devil because of the look, like the horns and the hooved feet and all that kind of thing. So,
interesting.
It's interesting. And I think Adam does delve a lot into that with his readings too, he can discern what's what. Because I think sometimes our own imagery in our mind is mixed up from Christianity, and
of course,
like there are all these ancient gods and ancient beings, but we might see them from a different lens of like an evil lens, and they might not necessarily be so,
such as
Pan,
it's all very interesting,
it certainly is. Thank you so much to our beautiful listeners that reached out with your stories, and I love this episode, it was really lovely to. Read all these out and have a chat, because it's, weird shit happens. It happens a lot. So
truly does. Truly does.
Sharing it doesn't make you feel so crazy.
That's right. And it's just funny. It had me reflecting on like weird shit that I've always sort of done and not actually stopped to sort of think that others might find it weird, or it's not until years down my own pathway and learning more about spirituality and pagan wheel of the year and quote unquote witchy shit, that it's like, you know, just lived my life like this for the most part, unconsciously, but always just did things like I had I don't even remember what it was. I think it was a candle holder, but I'd on a windowsill, I'd write things on bits of paper and burn them if I wanted to let them go, whether it be a wish or something I wanted to manifest. But I didn't know the word manifest. I just wanted to make happen. And I'd make like little charms of things. If I'd won the wishbone that night off my brother, I'd make a really potent wish and then I'd string it up on beads and look at it every night and, you know, connect with that wish and just stuff, you know. It's always there if you indulge it, I suppose, with anything. It's just sort of acknowledging all sides of yourself.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. And if any of our listeners do have some confessions, we would love to do a part two in the new year for sure.
Absolutely.
Feel free to email us.
Yeah.
Email us or inbox and, we'd love to read out your stories as well. So.
Yeah, because we will take a little break of the podcast over the end of the year, new year. We'll have a tiny little season break, so you'll have some time to get some stories in, and hopefully everyone will be having time for a little break themselves, hopefully.
For sure.
That'd be great. But for now, I suppose that's towards the end of our episode. And for those that are going to Rebecca Campbell this Saturday, if you're in the Sydney region, can't wait to meet as many of you there as possible. And, you know, soak in the potency of the day, because it's a real opportunity for transformations, for awakenings, for realizations, to be in a room full of people that will hold that and support that for one another is not a chance that you get to be in very often. So do visit her Instagram site as well to check out what you need to do to be in the running for some extra free tickets that they've just released. That's me.
Absolutely. And to our podcast coven, feel free to join us over on Patreon. We would love to see you there, and we will be back with you next week.
Bye.